Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Here's a quote worth considering. It's from Sandy Dahl. She's the wife of 9/11 Flight 93 pilot Jason Dahl. Quote, "If we learn nothing else from this tragedy, we learn that life is short and there's no time for hate." Unquote. I know lots of people, including me, that needs to learn that and keep relearning it. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone today is Marine vet Skip Coriel. Skip, I suspect that your firearms training classes are pretty full as we see the government grabbing more of our rights. Am I right?
Yeah, you are right, Colonel. You know, my business tends to go up and down depending on what's going on in the country. You know, during, you know, heightened violence, lots of crime, you know, it's like the country goes to hell in a handbasket. And it just keeps getting better for me. I mean, it's sad, but that's the way my business works.
So that makes President Biden one of your heroes, because
yes,
about
he
as bad
does.
As it could possibly be.
Yeah. Well, we always referred to Barack Obama as the world's best gun salesman.
Well, that's true. No.
And Biden is a close second.
Well, and he's pursuing. He may take first place.
He might.
Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss our nation's need to be both energy and food independent, as we once were. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Next, we'll discuss our serious need for food raised in America and the problems involved with that. We'll talk with rancher Rod Pelton and farmer Adam Malone. Then retired Army Chaplain Scott McChrystal will challenge us to return to our nation's founding values and abandon CRT and wokeness. And we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games. Air Force came out smiling.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Please send us your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Front Lines of Freedom. Of course, we'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip. What's first?
Well, China underscored its commitment to its claim on Taiwan, telling assembled world leaders that anyone who gets in the way of its goal to reunify with the self-governing island would be crushed by the wheels of history. The language was forceful, but for Chinese leadership, well within the realm of normal. Quote, "Only when China is fully reunified can there be true peace across the Taiwan Strait," Wang Yi, China's foreign minister, said at the UN General Assembly. He said Beijing would, quote, "take the most forceful steps to oppose external interference," unquote.
I'm surprised that China hasn't already taken Taiwan. While they are a strong and powerful nation, they do have their problems. The official position of the U.S. and the U.N. is that there is one China. For a while after World War II, that one China was Taiwan. Then it became the People's Republic of China. Stay tuned.
Our Coast Guard discovered a group of Russian and Chinese warships operating north of one of Alaska's Bering Sea islands last month. The cutter Kimball first identified a Chinese guided missile cruiser 75 nautical miles north of the remote Kiska Island. Kimball's crew later observed a formation of seven vessels. Four of the foreign ships were identified as Russian, including a Navy destroyer and three belonging to China. In response to the joint Russian-Chinese naval presence, the Coast Guard is pledging to monitor and meet the vessels of nations it called strategic competitors. Quote, "The Kimball crew is now operating under Operation Frontier Sentinel, a 17th Coast Guard district operation designed to meet presence with presence when strategic competitors operate in and around U.S. waters," unquote. The first vessel was spotted on September 19. A Coast Guard C-130 Hercules proceeded to assist the Kimball in its own response to the Russian and Chinese naval patrol. The Coast Guard did clarify that the Russian and Chinese ships followed the international rules of the sea.
China and Russia do work together occasionally, but it's pretty clear they don't trust each other. I'm glad our Coast Guard is keeping these ships under observation. We're very vulnerable now, and our enemies know it.
United States troops serving overseas may find that government schools are indoctrinating their children and teaching them to keep secrets from their parents. According to a report from the Claremont Institute, Classes from the Department of Defense Education Activity teach children radical activism, gender ideology, and hiding gender questions from families. The lesson plans aren't about teachers helping children learn the basics. Instead, they're about teachers helping children hide facts from their parents. Quote, they may be out of school, but they may not be out at home, unquote. Chavez was teaching at Farragut Middle High School in Rota, Spain, which serves a nearby U.S. naval base. The video was part of a 2021 summit talk titled Ally 101, Creating an Inclusive Classroom for LGBTQ plus Students, unquote. In the same talk, Chavez urged teachers to speak about new gender identities with young children. Claremont notes in its report that many parents disagree with exposing children to gender confusion at an early age. Parents have long taken for granted that cultivating a stable sexual identity is a key to individual development. Our military schools think upsetting a stable identity is the key to education, the report states.
This is beyond outrageous. Parents are responsible for raising their children, not the government. It's bad enough that this woke nonsense is forced on our troops, but on their kids? This is yet another reason for Americans to avoid service in our military.
The massive spike in illegal immigration, seemingly welcomed by the Biden administration, has been linked to increased time as well as injuries and deaths among American citizens and migrants who make treacherous journeys toward the U.S. southern border. So far this year, 11 agency employees have committed suicide, a recent high after 14 such deaths in 2009. Statistics regarding suicides among U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents in recent years suggest that the increased demand seems to be having another negative impact. One agent told the Daily Caller that the situation has taken a serious toll on the well-being of those tasked with confronting the influx of undocumented migrants. Quote, this administration continues to crumble what's left of morale and is taking the Border Patrol to irreparable levels of destruction, the source explained. Standing behind someone has now taken a different meaning. Trust in leadership has been cheapened.
Our nation's leaders know all this, yet they do nothing at all about it. It does make one wonder why.
Our Navy acknowledged that the water the crew of the aircraft carrier USS Nimitz uses to bathe and drink was contaminated by traces of jet fuel. But a sailor on the ship said the situation was worse than the service first let on. The crew learned several weeks ago that the water supply had a problem. Specifically, the water had become a troublingly discolored fluid with a bad smell, a sailor said. Testing found what the Navy said were detectable traces of hydrocarbons, a chemical component of jet fuel. Quote, we were exposed to an unhealthy amount of JP5, the Nimitz sailor said. JP5 is a kerosene-based fuel that is used in military aircraft and is a go-to for the Navy's carrier air wings. The sailor explained that although they and their shipmates drank and showered with the contaminated water, they were initially denied medical attention for issues that were believed to be related to their exposure to jet fuel. After earlier Navy assurances there had been no ill effects, a spokesman for Third Fleet said that five sailors have reported health issues that could be related to the contamination. The number has risen to 10.
So our military desperately needs leaders who will take care of the troops and admit it when they make mistakes. Some sailors were denied medical attention on their ship. What's going on here? And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing, but we can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, in getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CV4A.org. That's CV4A.org. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk about making America food independent again. At ease, troops, take a break. Troops, America has changed, and if you're like me, you'd defend yourself and your family if necessary. But as noble as this is, experts recommend never speaking to the police without an attorney, even if you're the victim. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield. the very best self-defense insurance that I've found. They provide unlimited attorney coverage for civil, criminal, appeal, and retrial at a very affordable price. Check uslawshield.com and use the code FRONTLINES. That's uslawshield.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your home defense tip of the week. Neighborhood Community Watch was established by the National Sheriff's Association back in 1972 in response to the rising crime of the 1960s. You can form your own neighborhood crime watch by logging into www.nnw.org. Above all else, get to know your neighbors and work together as a community. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to Frontlines of Freedom all across America. Troops, did you know that American farmers are going out of business because folks are buying foreign food? It's not good for our nation's security if we cannot feed ourselves. We need to maintain our food independence by buying food grown in America. Patriot Foods is not emergency food. It's food produced by our farmers. I eat it and love it. Use the promo code FREEDOM and save 10%. Check patriotfoods.com. That's patriotfoods.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Our nation is a leader in both energy and food production. We are blessed with tremendous resources that have helped our country thrive and enabled Americans to enjoy the benefits of ample access to necessities for everyday living. Indeed, during and after World War II, we fed much of the world as the nations were fighting and after the fighting took place when they were recovering. When war breaks out, it highlights the importance of not having to rely on foreign countries for products and goods we need to survive. That's the case today amid Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Russian President Putin's ruthless campaign against our ally has had devastating consequences on the people of Ukraine and to the global economy. Russia's invasion has caused many nations to worry that an extended conflict could raise food and energy prices to near unsustainable levels. Prior to the conflict, global food prices were already at their highest point in a decade, largely due to the droughts and overly heavy rainfall, as well as the broader supply chain bottlenecks caused by the goofy coronavirus pandemic. You know, since the conflict started, oil prices have also soared, the highest since 2014. Both Russia and Ukraine are major food producers and exporters, as well as providers of inputs for agriculture, such as fertilizers. Combined, the two countries are responsible for the following percentage of global exports: 57% of sunflower seed, safflower, and cottonseed oil, 26% of wheat and meslin, 24% of barley, 24% of linseed, and 14% of fertilizers. Disruptions in these exports have increased food insecurity for many countries, especially net food importing countries. As far as energy is concerned, Russia is the world's third largest oil producer and second largest producer of natural gas. And Europe gets a great deal of their oil and gas from Russia. Indeed, the European Union has purchased 61% of Russian energy exports. In a stunning turn of event late last month, it appears that two separate undersea pipelines that carry massive amounts of natural gas between Russia and Western Europe have both sprung massive leaks. And it's clear that they were likely sabotaged. Authorities in Germany, Denmark, and Sweden are looking into the unexplained breaches in the two gas pipelines that flow from Russia to Germany beneath the Baltic Sea. Both pipelines, Nord Stream 1 and 2, were loaded with natural gas when they encountered the breaches. For the record, when the war in Ukraine started, well, here are, in order, the major buyers of energy from Russia. First, China, then Germany, next, Italy, the Netherlands, Turkey, Poland, France, and India. As virtually all nations of Western Europe are assisting Ukraine and are pushing Russia to withdraw, Russia has already cut their provision of energy to Western Europe. This pipeline disaster was likely a way of ending much of Europe's energy supply, a form of economic warfare, and a good reason not to be dependent on a possible enemy for vital supplies like food and energy. Indeed, the global economic challenge stemming from the war in Ukraine underscores the need for countries to pursue greater food security and energy independence. We have rallied to the cause of Ukrainians in a variety of ways as they withstand this assault, and will continue to stand with them as we push the European nations, who should be doing much more, to help them. This conflict, much like the COVID-19 pandemic, makes it clear that we simply can't be at the mercy of other nations for essential commodities. This is obvious as we face rising prices at the gas pump and grocery store. After Russia's attack on Ukraine, we are now paying even more for fuel while we continue confronting soaring inflation. In 2021, about 8% of total U.S. crude oil and petroleum imports came from Putin's regime. We can't let that continue. Our nation needs to restore our energy independence as we had 2 years ago. Opening up American oil and gas deposits, and in particular approving the Keystone XL pipeline, would benefit both our allies and American consumers. Our government must work with our energy producers to increase production at home. And just as energy independence is important for our national security, so is food independence. The Ukraine war has significantly disrupted our agricultural markets, and interruptions in the supply of wheat, feed grains, and oil seeds affect food security and further exacerbate ballooning global inflation. Farmers and ranchers should have every flexibility to ensure food security and affordability for our nation and beyond. Now is the time for our government to rise to the occasion and ensure that our food supply remains stable within Americans' budgets. If we can grow an abundance of food and produce enough energy to meet our domestic needs, we do not have to suffer at the whims of dictators or the uncertainty of a company's international crises. Our nation has been both food and energy independent in the past, but we're far from being so now. We were energy independent prior to President Biden taking office, but it's been decades since we were food independent. We'll be discussing food independence during our first interview today. And those are my comments for today. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Front Lines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have to share this week, Roland?
Recruiting challenges have been at the forefront this year for all of the services. But the U.S. Army came 15,000 soldiers short of meeting its 2022 recruiting goals. In fact, this year was the worst year on record since the U.S. military switched to an all-volunteer force nearly 50 years ago. Army Secretary Christine Wormuth said that the Army only achieved 75% of their fiscal 2022 goals. However, she emphasized that the Army will maintain its readiness and meet all of this country's national security requirements. If recruiting challenges persist, the Army is going to have to start drawing on the Guard and Reserve to augment the active duty forces. The Army brought in 45,000 new soldiers over the past fiscal year, but they had a goal of 60,000. And they weren't the only branch not to meet the recruiting goals. The Marine Corps, Air Force, and Navy all suffered recruiting issues. They actually had to dig into their delayed entry program to fill vacancies, which will now already put them behind for 2023 recruiting. For example, the Marines, which usually enter the new year with 50% of its recruiting goals already met, will only have 30% entering into 2023. And the Air Force, who's usually about 25% of its target met at the beginning of the year, is down to 10% this year. You know, in this terrible year of recruiting, we also have the legal battle over the Biden administration's COVID-19 vaccine mandate. There's thousands of service members that are currently in legal limbo while they wait to find out if they're going to be forced out of the military for noncompliance. So why all the struggles on recruiting? Well, I think there's a couple issues. First is the dwindling pool of qualified candidates. It's hard to find people who are fit, educated, and without a criminal background. In fact, only 23% of the U.S. service-aged population is able to meet military fitness requirements. Then there's this current job market. Private employers are increasing wages and offering entry-level applicants benefits that were once unique only to the military. And lastly, many are starting to feel that the military has become woke in recent years. Military leaders have increased enlistment bonuses and incentives to try to attract a larger pool of applicants. But I don't think it's going to be enough to compete with the current private employers in such a tight labor market. Let's hope the next step isn't lowering military standards. For Front Lines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thank you, Roland. I enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll discuss the need for our nation to be food independent with farmer Adam Lalone and rancher Rod Pelton. Then we'll talk with Chaplain Scott McChrystal about our nation's values, All this is coming up. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Start with 40, take a break and do another 30, then stand at ease.
From ending our nation's endless wars, to making sure veterans get the care they deserve, to addressing our country's out-of-control spending problem, Concerned Veterans for America is taking on the most important issues facing our nation. You can help CVA shape a better future for Americans everywhere. Visit cv4a.org to learn more, see how you can get involved, and join our movement. That's cv4a.org.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, please do send me your comments and questions. Email me through Frontlines of Freedom. It's an honor to welcome to the show a guy whose family has for years been trying to keep America fed. Rod Pelton's a third-generation rancher who's also in the Colorado legislature. And we've talked before to Adam Malone, who's a farmer. These guys are trying to keep us fed. Well, Rod, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to our talk.
Yeah, it's going to be good to visit with you and let people know my side of things.
Yeah, a lot of people don't, like me, for one. And I think I know a lot about it. And I found out that I was not as smart as I thought I was. I know that during and after World War II, America fed much of the world, not just ourselves, but things have changed. And it's changed in a way that's dangerous for us. We need to be both energy independent and food independent, lest we find ourselves dependent for our survival on an enemy. Farmers are going out of business because we Americans are buying foreign food. That's crazy. And Adam and I have talked about that on this show before. When U.S. food's available, we need to buy American. And that's grown food, rancher type food. That has a different challenge. Rod, before you talk about that, give us a quick review of your background, both as a rancher and in the legislature, and then we'll go on to the challenges of ranching.
Okay. So, as you said earlier, I'm third generation Cheyenne County, Colorado, farmer rancher. My grandpa moved to Cheyenne County from Kansas in the 30s. He went west looking for green grass for his cows, and this is where he found green grass. You know, I don't know how long my family was in agriculture in Kansas, but it's I'm sure it's been a long time. Still live on the same section that I was born and raised on. It's just a way of life out here. You know, whenever we have storms coming and stuff, we go take care of our animals. Before we take care of ourselves, you know, breakfast waits until the animals are fed. And that's just the way it is. You know, they depend on us because we depend on them. You know, they are our living. That's how we make a living. And so we take care of them. My dad raised me to, you know, he says, you can gripe about what's going on, but if you gripe, you better be willing to put yourself in a position to help make change. And so I guess I've taken that very literally. I was a county commissioner for 6 years prior to becoming a state representative. I've been a state representative now. I'm in my fourth year, and I'm running for the state Senate here in November. So I'm very passionate about promoting, protecting agriculture at the local and state level. And, you know, as in many, many states, the urban legislators far outnumber the rural legislators. So we need to be there with a strong, loud voice to help promote and protect rural Colorado, rural America, and agriculture. And so that's why I'm there.
Well, if you're protecting agriculture, that means you want all of us to eat, right?
That's exactly right. You know, I feel just like you do. Food is a national security issue. We cannot demand the same standards on other countries as we do on our own producers. And so they can send us whatever, or they can just say, nope. And then we're in a world of hurt. If we're dependent on other countries that some of them hate us, you know, it could put us in a very bad spot. So I feel it is definitely a national security issue to be food secure in this country.
Yes, sir. And there are countries that are allies at the moment, but will they be 20 years from now? And I don't mean that we shouldn't buy anything from overseas, but I think we need to realize how critical it is for our nation to be food independent. And you can't just say, oh, gee, we need more food. Mr. Farmer, produce more food, or go get some more land, and we need more food in 2 months. It doesn't work that way, does it?
No, it sure doesn't. You know, land is a finite source. Cow herds are very dependent on the weather. Right now in Colorado, we're going through a very bad drought. Northeast Colorado has been liquidating cows off the land for at least 2 months, just because we haven't had the rain, the grass isn't growing, so they've had to take the cattle off the land. And so right now in Western United States anyway, we're depopulating our cow herd. So we need a good steady supply from all the states to make up for these shortfalls like we're having right now. As soon as it starts raining, you know, within a couple of years, we'll have our cow herd built back up. But, and so in some of those kind of situations, you know, imports do make a lot of sense, but we cannot rely on imports, that's for sure.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom, and we're discussing getting America food independent with Rod Pelton from Colorado. Rod, as I understand it, at least one challenge that ranchers face is that there are something like only maybe four major meat processing companies serving the United States, and that they set the price for meat, and they're not looking out for the ranchers. I've heard that. I don't know if it's true or not.
You know, it is true. And they also own a lot of the, they'll buy the calves off the cow, and then they'll grow them and process them. So they have enough supply of their own that they don't necessarily have to go out to the open market to buy from these feedlots that are producer-owned cattle near as much as they used to, which means it's become even more the independent cattle feeders have become even more of a price taker instead of a price setter. And whenever you're just a price taker, you're very vulnerable to selling into a market that you're going to not necessarily make money in. And you can't go very long not making money and survive. And then there's another part to this whole agriculture thing. It's an ideology, the mindset that man is bad, man's animals on the land is bad, them growing crops on the land is bad. We need to take it back to the way when buffalo roam and things like that. And that's just not how we're going to support the population of not only our country, but the world. And we need to get past that mindset.
There are some pretty goofy mindsets out there right now. And I hadn't heard that one, but it doesn't surprise me. We need to realize that I can't, even if I felt that way, I need to realize that I am deciding to let people starve to death. And that doesn't sound too cool to me. Matter of fact, it sounds horrible. maybe they don't think that way, or maybe they just don't think. I don't know.
Yeah, it's really hard to tell. Whenever people are driven by pure ideology, common sense goes out the window. That seems to be a commodity that is very rare anymore. Common sense would tell you that, yeah, we need to take care of our own, grow our own, not rely on other countries. But unfortunately, there's some people, policymakers, that don't have that. So perilous times.
It's often been said the uncommon thing about common sense is how uncommon it is. Well, there's more to discuss about food independence, and Rod will stay with us. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom Troops. It's time for push-ups. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do, well, some days. Then take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
The VA frequently denies veterans disability benefits for PTSD. Barry Law has been helping fellow veterans with PTSD fight for compensation for over 20 years. At Barry Law, we've spent decades building a team of attorneys, veterans, and former VA employees to provide veterans with maximum firepower when appealing VA decisions. To appeal your decision, visit PTSDlawyers.com.
Fellow Americans, we need your help. PatriotFoods.com. We are fighting for the American farmer. U.S.-only fruits and vegetables from your soil. Go to PatriotFoods.com. Use your promo code FREEDOM, and you get 10% off today. Support your U.S. farmer. Promo code FREEDOM, 10% off. Thank you so much.
It's great food. I eat it. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. PatriotFoods.com. Promo code FREEDOM. This is Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with rancher Rod Pelton. Rod, you talked about the way that big companies are controlling the ability of small ranchers to even survive. That doesn't sound like something that's good for America. It doesn't sound like something we should put up with. We have broken up big monopolies and things like that before in our nation's history. Should we be looking at something like that?
Well, you know, maybe not necessarily breaking them up, but maybe setting some guardrails around some of their business practices. You know, at the end of the day, we're still a free market system, and I don't want to do away with that. And anytime you start trying to limit or break something up, then that's big government, and we don't need that. But sometimes some guardrails need to be put in place. And, you know, it's a big problem, and it's not going to be something that's fixed overnight. But there is some hearings going on to address this issue. You know, at the Colorado legislature, I've been instrumental in running some legislation to make it easier to open small local packing plants and lift some regulations to where you can sell to your neighbors, to friends, make it a lot easier than what it has been in the past. Through this whole COVID mess, we found out we had some severe issues in our supply chain having to do with meat products and stuff. And that's just one way to kind of help alleviate it. But to feed the masses, we still need these big packing plants. So, yeah, we need to address those problems, but I don't want the heavy hand of government dictating to them how to run their business.
Do I ever agree with you? I had not given it that much thought, but the last thing we need to do is for a government to step in and take control of something else. And yeah. I like the way you put it. We can address some peripheral issues and make things a little more fair, a little more easy. But no, we don't need big government stepping in one more place and taking over. So I appreciate your understanding and your approach to this. I wish that almost all issues were dealt with that attitude. You know, when I was a new lieutenant stationed at Fort Carson, Colorado, I had a mechanized rifle platoon, and my platoon sergeant, who was basically teaching me how to be an officer, told me that when we get new troops in, I want to do everything I can to grab those that have been farmers or ranchers because they know how to work. And we'll put them to work taking care of the tracked vehicles we had, and it will always be in good shape. And I followed his instructions, and we always did well. Farmers and ranchers, as you've pointed out already, know how to work. They're not afraid to work, and they do a good job because it's that or not survive. So I see a very strong military tie to this just in that one point.
Yeah, you know, being in agriculture, to a point, you're very self-reliant. You know, I grew up, dad didn't have a lot of extra money, and so we overhauled our own tractors, you know, and we did as much as we could on the farm. We become jack of all trades, maybe master of none, but, you know, there's not much of anything we can't do on our own. And, you know, that's kind of the way America used to be. And we need to kind of get back to that, you know, relying on somebody else for services and stuff is kind of pushed our whole country to that, to the point that we rely on other countries for our computer chips, for our vehicles, for our medicines, you name it. And we need to get back to being the America that takes care of itself along with the rest of the world and not let the world take care of us.
Yes, sir. And that doesn't mean we shouldn't ever be importing anything, but it does mean nothing important, because we need to be able to stand on our own. And, you know, I've been involved in a lot of things, and I see way too much stuff that in the United States made in China and other places like that. We need to get away from that. But yep. Triply true in the area of food. Again, when I was talking to Adam Malone about just farming, he was talking about blueberries, and one of the things he raises is blueberries, and they're competing against blueberries from South America. Well, come on, America. You can tell the people at your supermarket you want to buy American food. You want to buy American blueberries. We can do something about this. One of the points that you made a couple of times, Rod, was don't just gripe about it, do something. And you're doing something in the legislature, and you're doing something that way. Well, we Americans can also tell the supermarket people in the other places, we want to buy American food. That can help.
Yeah, it can. You know, and in Colorado, we have a program called Colorado Proud. And that is food products, whether it's meats or vegetables or fruits that are grown and processed in Colorado. We put that Colorado Proud emblem on them. And you'd be surprised the people that kind of seek that out, you know, thinking it's locally grown, it's grown in Colorado. I want to support producers. And, you know, the programs like that, I think, could be very instrumental in kind of helping get the general public's mindset more on, you know, helping their friends and neighbors, their producers in their areas, as opposed to just, you know, supporting the global industry.
Yes, sir. And I don't mind how much we export, but I sure do care about what we import. Rod, we're about out of time. Take a minute or so and wrap up. What key points would you like our listeners to take away from our talk today?
So, you know, sometimes it gets to sound like I'm an isolationist, and I'm not. You know, I think we need the other countries in the world for whenever we have some shortfalls or some, you know, there's some industries that maybe we don't have the materials in this country to support. So we do need all the countries. I don't want to be an isolationist, but there are times that we need to make sure our industries in this country are sound, are supported in a way that they're sustainable, you know, because at the end of the day, if we're dependent on other countries for our food and they say nope, or, you know, for whatever reason, say all the major oil producing countries, all of a sudden, you know, we had a shortage of fuel for ships to ship the products. We're in a world of hurt here. And if people are hungry, things get desperate. So let's take care of our United States producers, and then we can worry about the rest of the world.
And your advice to citizens to talk to your state legislatures about making sure that state regulations are such that are encouraging to local farmers and ranchers and not so much to big business, that's something else we can do. I've often been told that if all you do is whine about something, you're part of the problem. Do something.
Yep. That's exactly right. You know, and just let's ease up some of these regulations and not be so burdensome on our producers.
Yes, sir. Rod, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to your state, to our nation. Thank you for the leadership you're providing, for the insights. I'm proud to call you a friend.
Thank you for reaching out, Denny. This has been awesome. And thank you for your service. You know, I hate to see what's going on in our country right now when men and women like yourself have put your time into this country to maintain our freedom. And I just don't like what's going on. So thank you for your service.
Thank you, brother. Well, this concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour talking with Chaplain Scott McChrystal about getting our nation back to the values that have held us together. Then we'll discuss last weekend's Service Academy football games. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for jumping jacks. Do 50 good ones. Grab some protein. Rehydrate with water. And finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.